Lee, what up?
Hey, Chato.
Man, I'm going to be like beaming this whole conversation. It's so weird. I'm used to coming to you within the context of like you being the sensei, and today we talk as equals.
So, thanks.
Well, Lee, what do you got today?
So, my business partner Ashley and I started a cat litter company, and the cat space is pretty dominantly growing, especially the eco-friendly segment. So to go all the way back, Tidy Cat started around the late 40s, early 50s. It was the first time that anybody used something inside to let outside cats come in and do their business inside. It's
What a mistake.
predominantly been bentonite clay in a cat litter box for the past 60, 70 years. More recently, people are moving towards what they view as more eco-friendly, more biodegradable options. And really anything, any carbohydrate can in theory be a cat litter. So it can be repurposed paper. Wheat can be corn cobs. There's a lot of things that people are using for cat litter, but they all have kind of their associated problems. Soy tends to be really good in a use case for this particular thing, and so that's what we're working with. A soy-based cat litter, starting with sourcing out of Asia because they have a lot of food byproduct that they can repurpose into a secondary product. And then hopefully next year or later this year, we're going to try to do formulation in the States. So we have two kind of redundant but complementary lines of production.
So this is one of the pitches I know the least about. I had a cat for about a year. Turned out I was terribly allergic, and so that had to end. Cat litter. So the cat market, I mean, like it's growing, like people having more cats, not less.
It's huge, and the pandemic was a boon to pet ownership, like beyond anything that people have seen historically. So now you've got a much larger segment that owns pets, and you have a much more highly bonded individual. So these people are often paying more for their pet's health care, for example, than they are for their own. So they're demand inelastic. They lose their jobs, but they don't change the amount of money that they spend on their pets. So the market's incredibly kind of like beautiful from a demand perspective. And as long as you can tell a good story and have a product that stands up to that story, it's actually pretty wide open. There hasn't been consolidation in that space like there has been in other spaces. And so coming in, there aren't so many barriers to entry. And then the last thing I'll say about that is this is sort of a reboot of a company that was operating a couple of years ago that closed down because of the pandemic. It was kind of going gangbusters with a similar product. There were about 2,000 subscribers, monthly subscribers, who were getting one 10-pound bag per month. So, total of about 2,500 bags. They were very happy with the product and they were asking for more. The original financier of that project went away, and COVID made it impossible to land product and to get it there in any kind of like financially reasonable way.
That
So
makes sense with all the supply chain.
that's why we're trying to create a redundant system, unlike a lot of other companies where we have production in two locations to be able to fill the supply chain in both ways.
That makes sense. Two locations in Asia or spread out even more so.
There are lots of manufacturers in Asia. We restarted with the same production partner that we had been working with before, so we know their product. They've been in that market for a decade plus, and have been refining their formulation over and over and over so that it's only getting better over the years.
So what's the pitch and who are you pitching it to? So I have, nice cheap cat litter and there's some problem that's motivating me to start spending more, an equal amount. What is this, like a premium product? Who are you selling it to and what problem are you solving?
It's high end, so it's at the upper range in the price point for the cat litter space. You can buy other things for sure, but they each, like I said earlier, have some negative consequences. Corn ends up, when it's wet, developing aflatoxins. Wood is a known carcinogen in the state of California. They each have some typical problem. They're not always so easy to get rid of. Sometimes they're large and bulky to begin with. And also, when you think about the cat and the cat's health, cats tend to have a predominance of respiratory infections, and cat litter in general tends to be very dusty. So a lot of the, and humans too. And so a lot of our customers, I wouldn't say they're asthmatic, but I'd say that they don't like getting particles of litter in their throat when they're pouring it into a box. So our avatar tends to be probably 30 to 50 years old, female, city dwelling, middle, higher income, very comfortable spending more on premium products, and really like to be bonded to a company that they feel shares the same kind of ethos.
That makes sense. So what would that that ethos be around, what's it called? Tidy Cats, or is it something else?
Tidy Cat was, this is Soy Kitty.
Soy Kitty, okay, yeah, that was from like the 50s.
Tidy Cat was the original cat litter. So Soy Kitty's ethos is really, really simple. We want to create a lot of visibility in the supply chain. We want to tell people what's in it. We want to be consistent in our messaging. We want to have a product that's really simple for cats and simple for their owners, that's theoretically even biodegradable or flushable, so you don't have a lot of the same problems you would lugging in a 10 or a 20 pound bag of litter out to your trash man once a week. So yeah, really simple. In this case, we're using almost entirely food-based ingredients. So you could, in theory, eat it, even though we wouldn't recommend it. There's a lot better food on the market.
Yeah, I mean, eat it before you use it as cat litter, I assume.
Exactly.
Imagine, so you're super calm and collected. You know, I'm all like crazy. You're always like, Chato, calm down. So imagine for a second that you're like some crazy marketing advertising guy, and you want to make like an ad that just blows people's minds and gets them to hit purchase. Like, what happens in the ad?
So I've had this like in my mind, I want to create some ads, which is I walk into a friend's house and I'm like, wait, I thought you had a cat. And the person says, no, I just changed my litter.
Love it.
So litter is generally two problems, one absorbing moisture and two masking odor. Soy and our product tends to do those both very, very, very well. So I think that the people that would be interested in it would probably mitigate a lot of the reasons that they get litter in the first place and some of the problems that cat ownership typically has. Smell, wetness.
Yeah. All right. And so what would the go-to-market motion be? And I'll ask a two-part question. What would the go-to-market motion be and how would you defend it? So like what would be your, you know, what's to stop like John's soy litter from coming next week?
First, we've already won an award and some non-equity-based funding through the Soy Board and the Yield Lab Institute, which is a fund associated with that to use soy byproducts in novel ways. So we don't think that we want to kind of like, we don't want to protect the market. We want people to know that this is a really great option. The more people that are searching for soy-based cat litter, the more they're going to find our website and our product, and we're going to grow the entire segment together. That's the first part. The second part is U.S. formulation is going to be really fascinating because there's not as much soy in the States in this type of a way. Most of it's for animal consumption to grow animals, but there is a smaller subset of that segment. We're talking to partners that can put out byproduct in the quantities that would allow us to grow this in the U.S., and I think that's probably the differentiator, because once you can start to move things by rail in the U.S., you're no longer at the same mercy of international sea lines and also production partners overseas that you can't just easily turn on and turn off. And so I think it's a two-part thing. One, our product's already good. Two, my business partner Ashley knows the space like the back of her hand. She knows cats and she speaks cat. And then thirdly, I think once we're able to refine U.S. formulation, we'll have the ability to white label or wholesale in ways that other people who are doing this just can't do.
Got it. You get economies of scale. Also get some branding power over time,
exactly.
And process power. I love it. So what's next for you, you and the team? And who is the team and what is everybody's role?
Ashley Halick. Ashley's got about 10 years of email marketing, so she's kind of a Klaviyo expert. She's kind of building all of our flows. She understands the avatar really well. She knows how to speak to that particular person quite well. And so that's her side of the business. I'm thinking broader in terms of operationally and production wise? Because I know that just being able to email and market well is going to keep new customers coming in the door. But unless your cost of goods sold and your price points make sense, then there's no viable business. So I think it's a pretty balanced partnership. And then we've got a few virtual assistants that we're starting to work with over in the Philippines, because it's always fun to activate people in other regions to see how different cultures work. And so they're helping with sales and marketing right now.
Lee, this is so cool. I always love chatting with you. All right. And are you raising? Last big question.
We're going to raise later this year because I think we're going to need to fund some of the inventory, and we're also going to need a production partner for the U.S. formulation.
Great. Please
I'd love
keep
to talk
me updated.
To anybody, any cat owners, any cat lovers who also like to play in businesses that have really high multiples.
Yeah. The high multiples. That's my middle name. You know, I'm not a cat lover or even a cat liker. But I hope you'll let me on the cap table when the time comes.
These companies get taken out at 10, 12 times. So I think it's pretty juicy for everybody.
All right. Thanks, Lee.
All right, Chato. See you soon.
Peace.
Bye.
If you're listening, raising pre-seed or seed capital, and think you have the perfect pitch, hit me up at rocktown.vc and know that our convo is only on the podcast if you want it to be. Take 90 seconds, send me your elevator pitch, and anything could happen. Later. Peace.